I remember my grandpa taking me to the stockyards to see the farm animals. He would buy me Cracker Jacks, caramel corn, and peanuts to eat as we watched the men move the stock from one pen to the other, getting ready to be sold. The auctioneer could be heard over the loudspeakers making a deal for someone with his gibberish. I could never make much sense of what he was saying. Still, I did enjoy watching his performance, entertaining the audience in the arena. When I stayed with them, my grandma would always have something special for me to eat each day. One day she would make homemade French fries, another day waffles, then blueberry muffins, all the things she knew I liked. I can still hear her yelling at my cousin and me, "You kids get out of that cookie jar," as we tried to keep the screen door from squeaking while we raided the cookies. I used to wait by the window looking out for when my grandpa got home. He was always so happy to see his grandchildren ready to greet him when he arrived. This man was the most influential Christian I knew personally as a young man. When my grandparents said they loved me, I knew they did. In the summer of my seventh year, 1958, I asked the Lord Jesus to come in my heart and be my Savior. This was a familiar Sunday school lesson, and I knew what to say. Carolyn and Pat were members of a church close to our home, and I went there with them. One year when our church building was under construction on the second floor, Pastor George Frank met with me between the unfinished 2x4 walls. The scent of fresh-cut wood and drywall dust is still with me today. At that time and age, I was ready to make a lifetime commitment to love the Lord Jesus and to seek out His will for me and my life. At the end of each day, you can put all your troubles in an imaginary basket at the feet of Jesus and just leave them there. He will take care of them. Then Pastor Frank asked me,
"Ronnie, do you know what the biggest spot in the Bible is?"
I had no idea what he was talking about, so I answered him, "No." Pastor Frank took out his Bible, looked up a verse and said,
"The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believe in him shall be saved."
He paused and then said,
"Period."
As he pointed to the period at the end of the verse, he explained to me,
"There is the biggest spot in the Bible. Some people stumble over it. That period at the end of the verse, God put in there. Nothing else can be added because Christ has already paid the price in full for our sins. You do not have to look up something else in back of the book or try to please him with good works."
Pastor Frank gave me my first Bible. I followed Pastor Frank's direction and turned my heart over to the Lord. But my personal experience with our precious Heavenly Father had come a few months earlier in the spring. My childhood was blessed by the Christian values of my family and the community I lived in. I learned from these Christians that you must take every word of the Bible as the accurate and complete word of God in faith, or not. It is our individual choice to believe fully or not at all. There is no place in the middle. With my family, I attended a local church on a regular basis. But something was missing from the experience of fellowship. I was a believer because I was told to believe. Yet I did not share the joy of having faith in the church teachings. I had some questions. Was the Bible a book of truth, or had something been lost in the translation? My grandfather's church was out in the countryside, surrounded by the local cemetery. The building was cold with that been closed too long smell, and the piano was out of tune. I asked him once why he stayed in a small church instead of one of those fancy ones. His answer was right to the point. He said,
"The larger churches have lots of people to attend their needs. At a smaller church, there are the same needs, but fewer people to help. There is more to do in a smaller church."
Then we talked about my faith in Jesus Christ. I asked him, "How can I love someone that I never met?" Then I told him, "I don't want to believe in the Lord just because my Sunday school lesson says to." Grandpa listened as I continued asking him, "How can I know the Lord is real?" His answer is still blessing my life today. He put me on his knees and held me close. Then he said,
"You need to just ask the Lord to make himself known to you when you pray."
Grandpa encouraged me to have a personal conversation with him.
"Speak to the Lord the same way we talk with love towards each other."
Grandpa told me to
simply ask the Lord for a sign that he is there.
I was not aware that my Aunt Violet was listening to this little chat. Then a short time later, Aunt Violet and I were riding home in her car from a family get-together. It was dark and during a bad rainstorm. The rain was so heavy, it was hard to see the road and drive the car. But it was the thunder and lightning that scared me the most. It was that quick flash of light, so bright it lit up the night. A loud crack like a gun always followed. I was having an awful time in the rain. Aunt Violet tried to settle me down and get my thoughts off the storm. She did this by suggesting that I pray for what Grandpa had shared with me earlier. I knew then she had heard him tell me to ask for a sign that the Lord was there. I was blessed to grow up surrounded by men and women that knew how to pray. So breaking into a serious prayer during a rainstorm was no problem for me. I closed my eyes and began to pray. Soon after that, time stood still. My body was overcome with a breathtaking good feeling. This was also experienced by my aunt sitting next to me. She was so affected that she had to pull off the road and stop the car. We just sat there, hugging each other between the flashing lightning and the roar of the thunder. She was the first to speak.
"Honey, you got what you asked for. Now let's go tell Grandpa."
I was very much aware that I had experienced something spiritual and physical. Oddly enough, I was also aware that this new feeling would not last, and it was slowly fading. This blessing lasted for 3 days, then it was gone. but the memory never fades. Members of the church came to my grandparents' home to see and talk to me. Some of them said that the Lord had touched me because my face had a healthy glow. All at once, I could recognize sin, and it was offensive and appalling to me. Sadly, this feeling would slowly fade and leave me back in the old way of thinking. But now I could firmly stand on the faith that the Lord Jesus had made himself known to me. Many times later, my path crossed with someone that did not have any faith to stand on. I wished they had experienced something like what had happened to me as a young Christian. I thanked the Lord nonstop for answering the prayers of a young man. This experience is as fresh and real today as when it happened back in the 50s. Several times during my life, when I found myself in an uncomfortable position, I was able to call upon his name to help me, and he did. After that day in the rain, I had a desire to become some kind of missionary. At that time, they were being killed in foreign countries, and this discouraged me from wanting to go there. In Sunday school, I learned that we can be missionaries right in our own community. My idea was to use music to witness to other young people and share what I had experienced that day in the rain. When I visited Grandpa and Grandma in the summertime, they liked to pack a lunch, then take a drive to some roadside park and have a picnic. While she traveled, Grandma would remember where these parks were and which ones she had not yet stopped at. One day, Grandma told me,
"Ronnie, this Sunday we are going to have a picnic at some place special."
Back then, there were no modern roads, just old logging trails, and the main ones were paved over. Grandma said,
"We are going over to St. Louis and see the freeway."
This was very interesting and exciting to see something we had only heard about. None of us had ever seen a freeway. So we took a drive, and when we got there, we parked the car alongside the road and gazed in wonder at the new modern marvel before us. There in the middle of a farmer's field was a big cement bridge. It was so out of place it looked like it had been dropped off from outer space. There weren't any rivers to cross or running water for anyone to need a bridge there. This was the oddest looking thing to us. We could not understand why someone would do such a silly thing. This was the first time I saw a freeway overpass. I went to visit my grandparents for a week during each spring, summer, and Christmas school vacations. They had other children that lived close to them, but they saw them often throughout the year. Because they did not see me during the year, they took me with them on their summer vacation trips. I still feel like they treated me special, and it was not fair to the other grandchildren that did not get to go, too. Grandpa and Grandma took me to some great sights in Michigan and as far as Watkins Glen in New York. We went by Niagara Falls on the way back home. One year when I was about 8 years old, Grandma asked me where I would like to go for a trip. Walt Disney opened his theme park in 1955 when I was 4 years old, and ever since I heard about that place, I wanted to go there. So, this was not a hard question to answer. "Disneyland," I said. Grandpa and Grandma did not go to movie theaters. They did not approve of some things shown in movies. And they felt when Walt Disney made films about magic and sorcerers, this was satanic material, and they should stay away from it. I already knew how they felt about movies, so it did not surprise me when Grandma said,
"This summer, we are going to Pennsylvania to see some of my old relatives."
Whenever my grandparents took a trip, my Aunt Violet came along. She was a very loving, kind, and generous lady. She was great fun to be with. She kept a log of everything she saw, did, and ate on the trip right down to the minute. I would love to have those time logs today to look at and refer to. I remember sleeping a lot on the way to Pennsylvania. Eventually, when we got there, I woke up in the middle of a cemetery. This could not be as good as a trip to Disneyland, I thought to myself. There were my grandparents and my aunt out in the middle of a field looking at grave markers. Then something else in the corner of my eye got my attention. I looked that way and saw not only one, but several cannons were setting in the field around me. This graveyard was obviously a very special place for my grandparents. They actually knew some of the names on the gravestones. These were Civil War heroes of their generation. During that same trip back east, we visited the headquarters of General Thomas Stonewall Jackson. Grandma let me buy some souvenirs at the gift shop, and I came home with a replica of a Civil War cannon and a little wagon. I don't know what happened to the cannon, but I still have the wagon. There always seemed to be negative energy shared both ways between Carolyn and my grandparents. One day in my grandma's kitchen, that energy sparked and gave me quite a shock. I had repeated a minor thing Carolyn told me. She said that she had never smoked cigarettes. Something triggered a flash of anger, and Grandma said,
"Let me tell you, she had done worse than that."
Then Grandma took a big breath and put her hand over her heart and said,
"We got a call from your dad's neighbor one night."
She continued after another breath,
"And he said that he had just seen your mother throw you out of the front door of Raymond's house into the snowbank."
Wild horses could not hold back my Aunt Violet when she shouted her memories recollect.
"What do you think your mother did next? She left you there and went into the house and shut the door."
This was the only time in my life I saw Grandma Knaus angry. She was steaming more than a pot of eggs boiling over on the stove as she continued,
"Grandpa and I had to drive down to Greenville and pick you up where the neighbor had dropped you off with some family. And we took care of you for quite some time thereafter."
I was only 2.5 years old. I don't remember seeing much. The snow was too deep over my head.